You could be anywhere doing anything, but you're hanging out with us. And we appreciate that. So wherever you're listening and however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in Timberwolves, S as in Suns, M as in Mavericks. Kennedy Miller.
Yes, sir.
Where can they find you on Twitter?
Find me on Twitter at underscore Kennedy Miller underscore. And that's underscore Kennedy as in former President John F. Miller, as in the NBA Hall of Famer Reggie Miller underscore Kennedy Miller underscore.
Aaron, my good man.
Yes, sir.
Where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at Slenderman Zeke 00. Again, that is Slenderman Zeke 00.
All right. We're glad to be back with you guys. It's been a while since we've, you know, been able to hang out with you all. So what we're going to do here in the opening segment, we're going to do our report card segment, and we're going to crisscross between college football, pro football, and the NBA. First up on our report card is the LA Lakers. They are 8-8 to start the season as they lost tonight to the Milwaukee Bucks. So, and they are currently in the 7th seed in the playoff standing. So, Kennedy Miller, how are you going to rate, or what grade are you going to give the LA Lakers?
A C minus. It could be a lot worse, but the only saving grace is that I haven't seen a sample size of them being fully healthy. When you start the season missing 4+ guys, especially guys that are rotation pieces, I think you're expected to struggle. And then once you factor in that LeBron has missed some games, and I want to say, I think Anthony Davis has missed one game. I mean, you got Trevor Ariza, who was penciled in as a starter, is out and has not played a single game. Talen Horton-Tucker played his first game, I believe, on Sunday. He had 25 points tonight to show you the type of production that he's capable of bringing. Wayne Ellington has been, well, just came back. He had been out. Kendrick Nunn has not played to start this season yet. So, and a lot of, it's 11 new pieces. So it's a lot of new pieces that have not been able to share the floor together. But one thing they, I guess they tried to lead the league in pace. And I don't really get that when you lead in the league in age. So, they lead the league in fast break points, but they're also one of the league leaders in turnovers thanks to Russell Westbrook. So you can see sometimes the potential, but there's also sometimes where you're like, are they even being coached? Like, was there even a training camp? Because I thought training camp was when you're supposed to get guys ready for the season, and it don't look like these guys really know how to play with each other yet. So I'll just say a C minus.
Aaron?
I'm going to give them a D. I expected, even with LeBron out, I expected them to kind of be able to handle themselves. It's kind of like the teacher leaving the class for like a few minutes. The class shouldn't explode, you know? But this class exploded. Russell Westbrook has been a disaster so far since he's gotten there. And I say so far because I still hold out hope that he somehow gets it together, because there's no way LeBron's putting up with that for more than a year, because he is not producing what LeBron thought he was going to be producing. He is giving him a lot more turnovers than expected. And I get it. I get the allure for Russ. I get the want to have him on your team, but it's not working out right now. And then nobody on the team is playing up to the potential that they really should be. And I get the chemistry isn't there, kind of like to what Ken was saying, but this is bad. This is really bad. So I'm giving them a D right now, but I'm still holding out hope that they improve.
I'm going to give the Lakers a C, just a flat C. I think the big thing that you said, Aaron, like that LeBron is like the teacher, and you know, the moment he's out of the classroom, the whole thing goes to hell. The room explodes, right? And the room should not explode, honestly, because you have somebody as good as Anthony Davis on your roster, right? And Kennedy, you have heard me say this time and time and time again. I think Anthony Davis is the most overqualified number two option in the history of the NBA. He is far too talented to not be able to hold the fort down when LeBron James is out. given LeBron James's age and given the tread he has on his tires, Anthony Davis should be the best player on this team. Anthony Davis should be the most important player on this team. He's not. When Anthony Davis is left to his own devices and left out there by himself, this looks like one of those 2016-2017 New Orleans Pelicans teams that is barely treading water, trying to stay above 500. Right? And some of this also has to fall on Frank Vogel, like you said, Kennedy. Like, I'm not quite sure what he's doing with these lineups, leading the league in pace when you're old as dirt. Like, if this was 2010-2011, you can lead the league in pace with these dudes. But a lot of these dudes are nearing, they're in the twilight of their career. They're nearing 40 years old. Like, if they keep up at this rate, yo, man, it's going to be a whole lot more dudes hurt. What's up, Ken?
I'm just going to say you're absolutely right. Because one of the reasons I give them a C is because for the first, I want to say 5 or 6 games, they started a lineup that we knew, one, wasn't going to work. Two, wasn't going to be their end lineup, starting DeAndre Jordan and Kent Bazemore, who's god awful. So I don't know if Frank Vogel was joking with us or if he was experimenting with crack cocaine. I don't know. I don't know what it was, but he, like, I give him a C because I think it was a game right before LeBron got hurt, but down the stretch, they were running pick and rolls with LeBron with the ball and Russ as the screener with Anthony Davis playing the five. That's a recipe for success. Like that's where you have to keep going with this. Like, Russ doesn't have the ball in his hands, but he's best cutting through the lane. LeBron is best with the ball in his hands, and they're best with AD at the five. And it's not really small ball because AD's 6'11" and LeBron is 6'9" at the four. And then once you get healthy, you got guys that can shoot the ball. They've proven that with Melo and Ellington and those guys. So it's an incomplete. I just want to see it, but you're absolutely right. Frank Vogel is not helping with some of the things that he does. Playing Rondo and Russ at the same time, make it make sense. The math ain't mathing.
This is going to be a long year. This is going to be a long year for you. I can see it now. You're going to be real stressed out. All right, so we're going to move on to the NFL and the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs, currently, they've won 3 in a row, and they're at the top of the AFC West after starting 3-4. So, Ken, how you going to grade them?
I give them a B+, because there's two sides to the football. They're always going to have an amazing offense. They got the best quarterback in football. They have a great coach, offensive coach, and they have great weapons around them. However, on the defensive side of the ball, it's not looking that good. And even as great as their offense has been, as we were talking about before the show started, teams are kind of starting to find a blueprint. You know, like, you ain't just going to completely shut down Kansas City, but you can, what is it, play cover two? You can play cover, you can have two safeties over the top and make them run the ball, because that is something that Andy Reid historically has not done. So I would say a B+. I think that, you know, they'll make the playoffs. I don't think, you know, there's a lot of people saying, you know, they're 3 straight Super Bowls. I don't know about that, especially with how bad this defense has been. But I would say a B+, because that defense is just, it's a recipe for disaster at some point.
I'm going to give them, at least in the last 3 weeks, I'm going to give them, hate to say it, a B minus, maybe even a C. I think I might go with a C, because last week against Vegas was the first time they looked like the Chiefs of old, effectively, right? Because like, they had to struggle to beat the New York Giants, and all of us, and I do mean all of us, think the New York Giants are booty cheeks. We all do, right? And they had to, it was pulling teeth to beat them, you know. Next week against Green Bay. Green Bay has to start Jordan Love because Throw Rogan is out with COVID. Karen Rodgers is at the crib. And they could only put up 13 points. And they had plenty of opportunities, right? Couldn't complete passes. Continually turning the ball over, right?
Yep.
Attention to detail just wasn't there. So this is a team, and we talked about it before we got on the air. I think, like, given some of the games they have left, they might not make the playoffs. Seriously. Given their issues turning the ball over, given some of their issues on offense, and given that teams are finally starting to play too high safeties on them and not going to just let Tyreek Hill run right by them, and because they don't have very much of a running game to speak of, and their offensive line ain't that good. Like, there's very little for me to be, feel, like, extremely confident about, except Patrick Mahomes. That might be the saving grace in this whole thing. But other than that, just as a team, right now, they sitting at a C. Aaron, how you going to grade them?
I'm going to go with a B-. That defense is god awful, but there is indeed two sides to the ball, that that offense is capable of putting up numbers on any given Sunday. And wins are wins. I do like to say that wins are wins, no matter how you get them, ugly or not. It is concerning. Well, for me, it's comforting. I'm loving what I'm seeing from them so far, but it is concerning for Chiefs fans that they are barely beating the Giants and the Packers without Phil Rogan. I think that is hilarious, by the way. That is golden. but yeah, I'll give them a B-.
All right, moving on to the Golden State Warriors. They are 12-2 to start off this season. And they're sitting comfortably in first place in the Western Conference. So, Aaron, how you going to grade them?
A+, because what is going on in San Francisco, Golden State, wherever they are? What is going on? Steph Curry is doing Steph Curry things, right? But damn, he's making it look really easy this year. And Klay Thompson and James Wiseman aren't even back yet. That's what people are failing to mention for the most part. These guys aren't even back yet. So when they're at full strength, this is apparently a top tier team in the West, but it's just crazy how they're doing it now. I mean, they just beat the crap out of the Nets. A+ for sure.
Man, my thought is this, man, as far as the Warriors are concerned, credit to Steve Kerr. Because Draymond Green. Because I feel like over the past 2 years, with the Warriors had two rough years, people questioned how good of a coach Steve Kerr was. I'm like, no, man. Like, Steve Kerr can really coach. My only question would be about Golden State as they're currently constructed. Do you have a second guy that can create their own shots when you need him to, right? That can just, move everybody out the way. I can go get a bucket outside of Steph. I don't trust Andrew Wiggins at this point. I really don't, but as where it currently sits, they're phenomenal. This is just, they've been over the moon good. This is a 100. You get 5 bonus points on the test too. They're doing great. Ken, how you going to grade them?
I go the same. I give them an A+. Bringing back Iggy brings back another guy that's familiar with how they play and one of the best basketball minds in the league as far as IQ-wise, in my opinion. And then bringing in two pieces in Otto Porter and Bielitsa, which I felt like fit their system perfectly. And it's almost reminiscent, this team right now, reminiscent of their 2015 team and how deep they were and just have so many guys that can just knock shots down. You got a guy like Bielitsa and Otto Porter now that can also play small ball and are not great defenders, but they space out the defense so much. And when you got guys that like Steph and all these guys that cut off the ball and in that Steve Kerr offense, and you got high IQ guys like Draymond and Iggy that are going to find the cutters, it makes them almost unguardable. And Steph is undoubtedly the MVP right now. Like I thought that they were going to be good. I didn't know that they were going to, through 14 games, have the league's best record. That's wild. But I am impressed, especially without Klay and Wiseman.
I'm going to move on to college football and the Alabama Crimson Tide. I think I'll take this one first. Over the past month or so, I got to give them a B. And this is a low B. This is like an 80. Alabama currently is second in the college football playoff rankings, right? I think Alabama is the second best team in the country. The problem is the gulf this year between number one and number two is so huge. It's Georgia and everybody else. At this point, this is Georgia's championship to lose. And the reason I say that is because Alabama cannot protect the quarterback. They've got problems on the right side of that line. Their right tackle is not good. Teams like A&M or LSU, even Mississippi State, were lining up their best defensive linemen on the right side and just saying, yo, go rush. I don't know what quite they need to do. Maybe put a tight end over there. Maybe chip. Maybe go tackle over. Figure something out, because if they cannot protect Bryce Young, they won't come close to beating Georgia in the SEC title game. And to me, that's really the big key. If they can protect Bryce Young, they can win that game. If they don't, they won't. And might I also add, I think Alabama's problem is they've kind of sleptwalked through a couple of games against LSU. That game, there's no reason that game should have been close. LSU took that game to the end, right? When they played Tennessee, that game was close into midway through the fourth quarter until Alabama just pulled away, finally decided they were going to play, right? Alabama championship teams don't have those sorts of problems of getting up and, you know, not playing 60 minutes. Alabama championship teams play a full 60 and they kick your ass for 60. This team might kick your ass for maybe 35, but then play another 20 to 25 minutes of just so-so football. 20 to 25 minutes of so-so football against Georgia will get you beat. Ken, how you going to grade them?
I give them a B as well. This team isn't this. It's not the same. Like you were saying, it's not giving off the same vibes as those national championship type Alabama teams. I actually saw Nick Saban's press conference on Twitter. He was kind of complaining about how they really didn't get after it in practice, and a lot of people had the case of the poor me's. You bring up a good point on the offensive line, because when you look at a lot of Alabama teams, especially the ones that have been very successful or won in the trenches, that is something that Nick Saban has always preached about, winning games in the trenches. And so if that line isn't good, especially against a very quality opponent like Georgia, they don't stand a chance. So I'm going to give them a B minus to Alabama standards.
Hell, maybe the Alabama standards. What we're talking about, B minuses might be Fs. So, Aaron, how you going to grade them?
It's kind of funny what you said, though, that the grades we're giving them to Alabama standard is like an F. It's kind of surreal seeing them, like, just be, like, good, you know? Like, instead of just be so dominantly good, so much dominantly better than everybody else, instead of that, 4 years, it's kind of like, oh, okay, there's a team that they're not hanging with this year.
Right.
I'll say this. I think they can hang with Georgia. Like, they can play with them, but I don't think they'll beat them. Like, I think that what'll keep them in a game with Georgia is the fact that Georgia's quarterback, I don't think, is very good. Like, Stetson Bennett, if Alabama were to get up 10 points, 14 points, Alabama's effectively won the ball game, because I don't think the way that team is built, that team, like, Kirby Smart has built the Georgia program to be like 2013, 2014, 2012 Alabama, right? We're going to run the ball down your throat. We're going to punish you on defense. We're going to play ball control. We're going to just suffocate the life out of you, right? And win games 27-7. Win games 34-10. Nick Saban doesn't play like that anymore. 2021 Alabama will score 50 points on you in a heartbeat. So my thought is, if it becomes a shootout, if Alabama can protect Bryce Young and he can get the ball to Jameson Williams and John Metchie and they can run the ball, and they can score 40 to 45, maybe 50 points. Can Georgia score 40 to 50 points? I don't think they can.
It's going to be interesting.
Look,
that's going to be one I'm tuning in.
Look, and while I'm saying, while we're already up here predicting the SEC championship game, this feels like one of those years where Alabama playing Auburn on the road, and this seems like one of those weird Auburn teams that, you know, pulls it out of their hat at the end of the game. Could lose. So, yeah. But, anything else, guys?
I think that is it. Oh, by the way, my Dallas Cowboys have an A+.
A+. A+.
Hey, bro, I'm going to tell y'all this, man. I'm going to tell you this. This is what it should look like. Like, 2 years ago, this is what I thought the team 2 years ago would look like. Like, Jesus Christ. And, like, it's weird the way it happened, because you fired Jason Garrett, and then BBW Jason Garrett got in here, and it looked worse last year. And then, you know.
No, you did not, bro.
We called it BBW Jason Garrett last year.
Yeah. Classic. I mean, that's what he was.
Oh, my God.
Classic.
Oh my God. That is funny.
Hey, man, I'm just here being honest. All right.
He deserved it. He deserved it, Aaron. You know it.
He does. I'm just mad I didn't come up with that first. That's funny.
Hey, man, this is honestly what it should look like, and here's what you should be happy about. You're in the mix, okay? And that's really what you should hope for. You're in the mix. You're not a joke.
Not just in the mix. We at the top of the mix. We number one, baby.
Oh, here you go.
Oh, yeah.
But why are you telling LeVar Ball?
Never lost. What you mean?
Those losses never happened.
Oh, man.
Let's cheat it.
Look, dude.
Oh, man, I'm trying to keep it quiet till we actually make some noise.
Look, we beat the Chiefs. I'm getting real disrespectful on Facebook here. I'm talking.
Aaron be on Facebook every week.
Yes,
about,
yes.
Y'all don't see the NFL rigged?
Yes, bro. Bro, and I'm looking at this, and I'm like this. Hey, man, you really got to calm down. Like, Jesus Christ. Why? I'm like, whose auntie are you arguing with?
I watched one of the Facebook stories. She screamed. I jumped through the phone. I said, what? I'm not Roger Goodell, Aaron.
Bro, that is so, it's so obvious. It makes me so mad. It's like being the victim and the villain is literally saying, F you. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. We have a bleep button.
Yeah, we had a bleep button for this kind of stuff.
This is a safe space, Aaron.
Oh, my God. And I know y'all see it. That's what's crazy. I know y'all see it. And I know everybody else sees it. And they act like they don't. But as soon as something bad happens to the team, oh, the Bengals get a bad call. Oh, the Steelers get a late hit. It's like, oh, you really want to complain? Shut up. Shut up. How dare you? Because the Cowboys go out there and get a foot in their ass by the refs every single week. Whether it's when they try to put a football over the goal line, whether you are getting up and your entire body is over the goal line, but somehow because they didn't see the ball, that means that they didn't score a touchdown. Whether you block a punt and you stop them getting the first down. There's evidence of some every week. No other team has to go out there and worry about this. Every time. It's getting to the point where I'm predicting calls. I'm predicting I see a flag. I know what's happening. And I'm right. That is ridiculous. Hey, that is ridiculous.
If this goes bad in the playoffs, stay away from all tall buildings. Stay away from all sharp objects. And stay away from drugs and or alcohol.
I have to stay away from my car because I would drive to Goodell myself. I don't know whose fault this is going to be. Jones and Goodell, one of them. But they catching it. They catching it if it falls apart in the playoffs. Because you can't allow this to happen this year.
Aaron, this might be the most animated I've seen you.
Yeah, really. Like
on the podcast.
Jesus Christ. We need to take a break to let Aaron take a chill pill. He needs to go walk outside. He needs some air. All right.
I'm sorry, man. My God, it is the most frustrating thing in the world. It's like trying to solve a crime, but nobody believes you. It's like, I know y'all see this stuff. I know y'all see this, but you know what? What do I know? You know? Oh my God.
Oh man, we got to take a break, but we will be right back with more of the Game Plan Podcast. Don't go anywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in Tangare, S as in San Marcos, M as in Marvel. Kennedy Miller.
Yes, sir.
Where can they find you on Twitter?
_ Kennedy Miller _. Again, that's _ Kennedy as in the former NFL lineman Cortez Kennedy. Miller as in the former NBA three-point marksman Mike Miller _ Kennedy Miller _.
Aaron.
Yes, sir.
Where can they find you?
They can find me at Slenderman Z 00. Again, Slenderman Z 00 on Twitter. Also, Kennedy, shout out for the Cortez Kennedy reference there.
Hey, you see it? I try and throw that in there every now and then.
We dig it. We dig it. So, guys, so while we were on commercial break and after Aaron just kind of, you know, let his feelings out about the NFL officiating and things like that, Ken and Aaron came to me and told me I probably need to do the same thing when it comes to University of Texas Longhorn football. And I had to let out, you know, the way I feel. You know, it's not good to hold these types of things in. You know, that's how you have a heart attack. You know, we, you know, black men's mental health matters here. So, you know, I'm going to get these things off my chest. So, Ken, Aaron, fire away.
Tell me, what is the root of the problem with this Texas team? You know, most times under a first year head coach, you know, you kind of give them some leeway. But what do you feel is really driving you insane about this?
The first thing I must say is that, you know, it's one thing to have a bad team, right? That, you know, is bad, right? Charlie Strong's first year, we knew that team didn't have no talent, right? We knew it was going to be an uphill climb to get that team to 6 wins or 7 wins, right? And Charlie got them to 6 wins, barely. But this team right here, there's no excuse for this here. They were 4-1 5 weeks ago.
Yes, they have not won
a game since the month of September. And in five of those games, they held the lead in the third quarter. Five of those games, they had a great start, right? Texas had one of the top, which was top 15 in point differential in the first half. In the second half, in the bottom 30, right? So I don't know if they just didn't need to go into the locker room for halftime or what was going on, right? So some of this is coaching. If your players are not playing a full 60 minutes, that's on you as a coach. But secondly, and I must say this, there's no reason you should lose to Kansas. Ever. Ever. You were a 31-point favorite against Kansas at home. Kansas has not won a Big 12 game since I was in the seventh grade. Okay? And they came out there and ran through them like foreign water through a tourist. Like through a tin horn. Like, where's the pride? Like, at a certain point, you know, you got to have pride in what you're doing. Like, people are laughing at you. Like, don't you get tired of getting laughed at? I'm tired of getting laughed at. Look, man, I'm going to say this, Ken. Sark might not be drinking, but I am. Sark might be staying out the bars. Sark might not be going to 6th Street. Sark might not be drinking a Crown Royal, but I am.
Sure. As Alex takes a shot. you have a question, Aaron?
How do you feel about the injury to the running back? I can't pronounce his name, his first name. I always get it wrong.
Bijan Robinson. How do I feel? I mean, it don't matter if he's playing or not. We're going to piss down our leg. The moment's too big. Clearly. Right? Like, it don't matter if he was on the field or not. We'd fight, like, Texas has found ways to lose this year. They found ways to lose this year. So whether Bijan was on the field or not, like, it didn't seem like in that Kansas game in the first half, like, they were trying. Then all of a sudden they realized, oh, wow, we're down 35-14 before halftime against Kansas. We better try.
They had like 21 points in, like a minute and a half.
Bro, they lost that game in 2 minutes flat.
Yeah.
So, keep them coming.
That's it for me. I just wanted to know about that one particular question. Yes, I've given up on them.
What would you say is the next steps? Obviously, they're not going to fire Sark because this is his first year. But what would you say is the next steps? You want to see more coordinators, a change in the players that they're going after? If you were the head coach, what would you be doing to fix this Texas program?
Hey, man, to quote my man Coach 30, he got to get on the air app. Steve Sarkisian got to get on the air app, man. He has to. He got to get the right players in.
He has to get on the what?
The air app. Match with the right recruits, get the right guys in there, get the wrong guys out, okay? Because clearly, there's an issue in that building. They got to get some of these dudes who don't want to play hard out the paint. They got to get them out.
Right.
Okay, number one. Number two, you give up 57 points to Kansas. You might need a new defensive coordinator. I don't know where this other dude came from. He might have to bounce, okay? Last year, they tried to hire Dan Lanning, who is Georgia's defensive coordinator. Sark did. Sark tried to hire him, right? It didn't work. They need to offer him a blank check. Put a blank. How much he want? Georgia paying him $1.7 million. They need to offer him $3 or $4 million. $20 million, $15 million. Right? They they need to figure out something, right? And secondly, I think Sark has fumbled the way he's handled this quarterback situation. Like, he started off with Hudson Card. Hudson Card had a bad game the next week against Arkansas. Then he went to Casey Thompson. Casey Thompson hasn't played. Casey Thompson played, I think, played fairly well, you know. Then he went to Hudson Card in the Iowa State game. Now he's volleying back and forth between the two of them. This is how you lose both quarterbacks. This is how both of them end up in the transfer portal. I'm not sure if you guys remember in 2015 at Texas A&M when Kevin Sumlin was going back and forth with Kyler Murray and Kyle Allen, and both of them ended up gone.
Mm-hmm.
This is that same sort of thing. So what are the next? I mean, there's a lot of steps that need to be taken. But my thing is, nothing gives me confidence because there's no reason the athletic director has to put out a statement voicing his confidence and voicing his support in you in year number one. That's never a good sign. If you need a vote of confidence from the AD, and you're not even finished with the first year. We ain't even at Thanksgiving yet. Like, seriously, there is a good chance Texas could finish this season 4-8. Seriously, do either you guys think they're going to beat West Virginia or K-State? I don't.
I myself do not.
I do not.
I mean, and the thing about the recruiting, man, is this, man. Texas has been recruiting top 7 classes.
Correct.
This ain't an issue of talent, man. Next question.
I mean, do you have any other miscellaneous thoughts that you would like to add about the program? This is a safe space yet again, Alex. Just a reminder, I know that you do the editing, but you have a bleep button to feel free to use your vocabulary any way you want to. So,
look, man, I figured this Texas team could go 10-2 in a regular season, 9-3, because I figured they'd probably lose a ball game in conference to Iowa State, probably lose to Oklahoma, and maybe one more on like a last-second field goal or something like that, right? 9-3. Probably win a bowl game against a Pac-12 team, get to 10 wins, right? Like, I'm cool with that. I'd have been cool with that. That's progression. But this is a regression. There's no reason it should look like this. There's no reason. Like, it looked to me like the players quit when they went out there against Kansas. I know last week, the video of the defensive line coach on the bus cussing them out came out, right? And then one of their top receivers left the team. Like, there are problems, like culture problems that are bigger than just the coach. And just the lack of leadership on that team, right? Because you wouldn't see, at a place like Alabama, no matter how bad it got, you would never see video or hear audio of a coach cussing, right? That would never come out.
Correct.
Look, man, Texas has not been good since I was in the 8th grade. I'm about to finish my PhD, y'all. I feel like I've suffered long enough.
I agree.
Like, yo, man. Ken, Aaron, tell me this. We were kids. We had pride that Texas was representing us, right? We had pride. Oh my God. We had pride in Vince Young.
I was running through a brick wall for Texas.
Like, we had pride in Vince Young. We had pride in Colt McCoy. We had pride in Jamal Charles. Pride in Ricky Williams. You know what I'm saying? Pride.
Makes sound like we're 50.
That's how I feel. Look, we had pride in them dudes. Like, they representing our state, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we got ballers out here. And now look at us. Letting Kansas put 57 points on us at home. Now, who the kids supposed to root for? A&M? The kids rooting for the racists in College Station.
It's a shame how many A&M supporters have come out the blue.
I tell you what, if they actually went to College Station and spent an afternoon there, there wouldn't be no real A&M. There wouldn't be no A&M football supporters.
I'm never supported.
Y'all got anything else for me?
I think that's all, man. I think wrap it up on a positive note.
All right.
The sun always comes out, Alex.
You remember in the Bible when they the lost children of Israel in the wheel, just out there in the desert? That's how I feel right now. That's how I feel right now. Rudderless, directionless. That's this program.
It's going to be okay.
If you say so.
Thank you from a Cowboys fan.
Here's what I did, man. I was talking to somebody about this early in the week, man, and he said, man, you sound like kind of how like the Cowboys fans kind of sound. He said, except you're not delusional. Literally what he said to me. And I had to realize something. And in this case, we're in the same boat. And that hurts. That hurts me to know who I'm in community with. But we're going to leave it right there. We're going to finish the show on a high note when we do game picks on the other side of the break. This is the Game Plan Podcast. Don't go anywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, it's on Twitter, Alex Goodwin TSM. T as in Tangeray, S as in Sam, M as in Mother. Kennedy Miller.
Yo.
Where can they find you on Twitter?
Underscore Kennedy Miller underscore.
All right.
Underscore Kennedy, as in Kennedy Meeks from North Carolina. Miller, as in one of the greatest women's players of all time, Cheryl Miller. Underscore Kennedy Miller underscore.
All right, all right. And where can they find you?
They can find me at on Twitter at SlendermanZ00. Again, that is SlendermanZ00 on Twitter.
All right, all right. We're going to finish out the show on a high note with our game picks. So to get things rolling here, we've got NFL, Arizona versus Seattle. Ken, who you got?
Kyler is back and D-Hop is back, correct?
I believe so. Believe so.
Okay, so in hoping that both of those two are back and everybody is healthy for both sides, I'm going to go with the Cardinals because when they were healthy, they looked pretty darn good. That Cardinals team has definitely been a surprise this year as far as I did not think that they were going to be. I thought that their division was going to be one of the toughest of all time, but I did not think they would be at the top of said division up there with the Rams. I'm kind of disappointed in the 49ers, but also very impressed with the way that they're playing. So division games are always great, but I'm going to go with the Cardinals to win this one.
Aaron?
Wait, where's the game? Sorry.
The game is in Seattle.
Oh, I'm still going to go with Arizona.
All right. Aaron?
I'm going with Arizona as well. After that showing with Green Bay, I just don't think their offense is going to be able to keep up with Kyler and D-Hop. Arizona for the win, for sure. The Seahawks defense played kind of well, honestly. Yeah, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. I don't know, man. I'm saying this now that Russell gets it together and then it's a game, but I want to go with Arizona for the safe pick.
I'm going to go with Arizona as well. Russell Wilson didn't look good last week in his first week back after missing a month. And with Arizona having Kyler and DeAndre Hopkins back, I think they'll probably do just fine, even though Seattle is a ridiculously tough place to win. So I'm going to go Correct. With Arizona. Next game on our list, we've got Green Bay at Minnesota. I'll start off with this one. Our good friend Throw Rogan, he looked a bit off last week in his return to the lineup, but I think they should be just fine against the Minnesota Vikings, who, oddly enough, I think they're going to like tie the record for most losses by one score or less in NFL history. Because it's like every time they've lost a game, it's in overtime, it's about a last second field goal, or a touchdown in the final 2 minutes. So, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are going to be good. Ken, who you got?
I got the Packers. You know my feelings on Kirk Cousins. I've just never been a fan, even when he was in Washington. And I just don't think he can ever win a meaningful game. Yeah, I think the Packers are just going to win this one.
Aaron?
I'm going with the Packers as well. Aaron Rodgers, as despicable as he is, he doesn't have multiple bad games. So, probably going to get it together there. I'm going to go with the Packers on this one.
All right. And the final game on our game picks list, I really shouldn't even put this on here, but I like to see y'all get riled up. So, Dallas at Kansas City.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I'm going to go Dallas by four. Dallas by four. Kansas City secondary is horrific. Sorensen is the worst safety in the league. Sorensen should probably be working at T-Mobile or working as a real estate consultant. So he's going to be the mark. Dallas by four, at least.
I'm going to go Dallas by 10.
Oh, I was just going to say that.
Yeah, Dallas by 10. I feel like the defense is going to get back there in the backfield. Michael Parsons is going to do something. I don't know what it is yet, but that's kind of the point. You don't know what it is, how he's going to make an impact, but he's going to make an impact. So, I feel like whatever it is going to be something that's going to give us points, give us that extra little cushion. I'm going to go Dallas by 10.
I agree. I feel like it's going to be a neck and neck game, and I feel like it's going to be a turnover and in Dallas's favor, and it's just going to kind of close the deal for the game. But I do think it's going to be a really good game. Might be the game of the season. But yes, I do have Dallas as well winning by 10 points. Thank you, Aaron. You know, it's good to have another Cowboy fan on this show.
I don't know if I mentioned it or not,
but I mean, it was lonely. Oh. It was lonely on this hill.
Hold on. What you're not about to do is act like you've been alone this whole time, bro. Acting like we don't have most of the guests we bring on this show are Cowboy fans. JT Barrett's a Cowboy fan. Lamar Gafford's a Cowboy fan.
Shout out to JT. Shout out to Lamar.
Like, yo, like we bring them on. Like, don't act like you just out here by yourself. Don't do that.
I'm just saying. Sometimes I dread coming on this show. Sometimes after some Cowboy losses last year, I would see Twitter pop up and I'd say, oh, here we go. When you want to record, I don't.
Hey, Ken, here's what you can't say. You can't say I didn't offer you a safe space to vent.
This is true. I've had my safe spaces and I've used them well, I believe. So I cannot complain.
But we are out of time here on the program. So, Kennedy Miller, I got to thank you once again for hanging out with me. Where can the folks find you on Twitter?
I mean, at this point, if you don't know my Twitter name, _ Kennedy Miller. I shouldn't have to spell it out for you. If I have to spell it out, that means you can hold it read. Shout out to Morgan Freeman. Lean on me.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. Aaron, where can they find you on Twitter, bro?
Oh, man. You can find me on Twitter at SlenderManZ. SlenderManZ 00. Oh, my God. That was perfect.
Y'all can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, it's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. T as in Tangeray, S as in Sangria, M as in Morgan Freeman. So wherever you're listening, however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. For Kennedy Miller and Aaron Okonofu, Alex Goodwin is my name. This has been The Game Plan. We'll see you guys next time.